Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm sad and excited to tell you that we don't have any guests today. I'm sad because I love having guests and it's so fun to listen to what they have to share. But I am very excited to be with you tonight to share with you some things the Lord has put on my heart about staying clean in a dirty world. So, welcome to everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I am Meredith Curtis, and I am a pastor's wife, a worship leader, a homeschool mom who has been blessed with the five most amazing children in the entire world, and I'm very grateful for them. And even in spite of not having a perfect mom in any way, they have come to love and serve the Lord with all of their hearts, and I'm just very grateful to be their mom. I'm grateful for my husband, for all my friends, and most of all tonight, I'm so grateful that Jesus Christ has saved me and forgiven my sins. And that's where I want to start with him, because when you are a teenager, you have some very normal feelings, and you have some feelings that can make you feel a little bit odd or terrible or... So I want to talk tonight with you about how to stay pure, how to stay clean in a very unpure, impure, unclean world. So to start with, I just want to let you know that even though I am older now, I once was a teenager, that I've been where you have been. And unlike some of you, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mom did come to know the Lord, and we went to church every Sunday, but I grew up in kind of a different environment. So I had some struggles that some of you who are listening have, and I'm excited to be able to talk about those things with you. And I want to start, first of all, by saying that we live in a time where it's very confusing about what is normal and what is not normal. My oldest daughter is engaged to be married, and she and her husband are going to have their first kiss on their wedding day. But if I turn on a TV show, then I will see two people meet, and within 5 minutes, they are pretending to be married. And that can be very confusing to children, but even to us who are adults and who are teenagers, because the lines are very blurred between what is right and what is wrong. So let me start out by saying this, that it is very normal to have sexual desires. And I know that when you reach a certain age, for girls, it might be a little younger, you begin to have feelings that are different. You begin to feel attractions to the opposite sex. You begin to look at your own body and wonder if your own body is normal. Sometimes you want to see someone of your own sex naked to make sure that you naked is normal. Sometimes you can have very intense romantic feelings for someone of the opposite sex. Sometimes you can have very intense sexual feelings for someone of the opposite sex. And the truth is, it can be very overwhelming. I remember a friend of mine was about 12 or 13 years old, and he was in the mall, and he saw a picture of a very scantily clad girl, and he just felt these overwhelming feelings of sexual attraction, and he sat down and cried because he felt so dirty. And so I want to ask you tonight, what is normal, what is not normal? Well, God made us to have sexual feelings. They come along as our hormones change, and they are very normal. Romantic feelings are very normal. And God did not give those to us to torment us. He did not give those feelings to us so that we would be miserable. He gave them to us actually so that we would pursue a mate and we would get married and honor him and have children. And they are very normal. So what's all the weirdness? Why is it so hard sometimes to control those feelings? Well, part of the reason that it is difficult to control the feelings that we have, romantic and sexual feelings, is because we live in a fallen world. And in the perfect world, Adam was created and all the animals were created, and he was very busy in the garden and naming everything and tilling the soil. And then he looked around and he said, there is no mate for me, and everyone else here has a mate. And he noticed, and God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a woman for him. Now, it wasn't like God had forgotten, oh, golly, I forgot to make Eve. You know, he didn't do that. But he created Adam and allowed Adam to notice that he was missing something. And Adam did notice, and he realized, okay, you know, I need an Eve. I need a woman. And God took care of that need. And then Adam was so excited to have a wife. And God allows the desires that he puts inside of us to make us realize that we do want that companionship, that special thing that God calls marriage. But what happens is, in a perfect world, you would not have any kind of desires or attraction to anyone until the day that God said to you, here's your wife or here's your husband. And at that moment, you would feel attracted to them and you would fall in love with them. But because we live in a world where sin has entered the world, things are not the way they should be. And so much of what we deal in life that is stressful or frustrating is because sin has entered the world. There wouldn't be traffic jams. There wouldn't be overeating. There wouldn't be test failures. All those things that can be frustrating wouldn't be there if we didn't live in a fallen world. And so, like everything, this beautiful gift from God is marred in the way that we are forced to deal with it, because it doesn't come in the perfect way, and we don't just have sexual desires for the person we're supposed to marry. We can actually have those feelings for many, many people. And so we have to stop, and before we even think about how to stay clean, we have to first look at those desires themselves and the whole world that comes with it, and ask ourselves, is this normal? Is this good? Is this bad? Is this not good? And I think the first step to staying clean in a dirty world is to look at the whole gift of sex is as a gift and not something dirty. One of the things that Satan does to make us view sex in a wrong way is to make it dirty, something funny, secretive. You know, I don't know, in my house I grew up with a lot of dirty jokes, and not as much my parents telling them, but other people. My parents did, my dad did sometimes, but I heard those dirty jokes all the time, and it made sex seem like something kind of dirty or wrong. You know, everyone snickered and laughed, and, you know, it was kind of, oh, don't say it in front of the kids, you know. And I just thought to myself, well, is this something dirty? Is this something bad? But what this gift is something beautiful and sacred. And when married couples make love to each other, they're honoring Christ. They're pleasing God. They're doing something that gives glory to Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that we have to do is change how we view it. Now, my children, when they're young, want to go to college and think, okay, when I grow up and graduate from high school, I'm going to go to college. And if I acted like college was something kind of dirty and secretive and, you know, said, oh, college, ho, 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 you know, and made little jokes about it and stuff, then they would view college in kind of a strange way. And maybe they would try to sneak and go to college when I wasn't looking. But if I treat college as something, you know, good, I want you to go to college, but not till you graduate high school. You have to finish all this work first. And in the same way, sex comes at the right timing, and there are things that we need to do to get ready to enjoy that gift. And it's not the gift alone. It's a gift that comes within a package. It's not something that we pull out of the package. It's part of that package of marriage. Now, this is how God puts it in the Bible. He said, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. And what that means is that people should think that sex is awesome, that marriage is awesome, that it's all very wonderful. It's a great, wonderful package. And we should honor it, put it in a place of reverence, of esteem. That means we don't make little jokes, you know, oh, get a room, ha, 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 you know, things like that. Things like that, we don't joke around like that about things that we honor. And so the first step, if you want to stay clean, is to say, Lord, I have a strange view of this beautiful gift that you have given men and women of sex inside marriage, and I want you to renew my mind, and I want to begin to look at it in a way that it's honorable and pure, and is something that I'm not ready for, not something that is forbidden. See, when we look at something and say, okay, that is forbidden, it's almost like we want that even more. But if we realize the heart of God, and God's heart is, look, it is not time yet. And if you indulge in things that you are not ready for, that it is not time yet, not only do you hurt yourself, but you also hurt other people. And I was recently talking to someone, and she said to me, I feel so defiled. I just feel defiled. I wish I would have waited. And I can't go back and take that back. And my heart was so sad, because it is true. You can't undo what you have done. But you can receive forgiveness, and you can receive a new heart. And so if you have done something in this whole area where you rushed ahead of God's timing, then I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter if you're 50 and when you were 18, you rushed ahead of God's timing. Ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the Lord to put within you a pure heart, because God is in the business of giving us a pure heart. So now I think we can safely agree we're going to wait till we're married to have sex. We're going to wait till we're married to enjoy that gift. But here is another problem that we face. Okay, Satan will say, because just as much as God has a plan for your life, Satan has a plan trying to trip you up and set traps that you can fall into. Then Satan looks and he says, okay, I'm going to give you some counterfeits. Yeah, go ahead and wait till you're married, but I'm going to give you some counterfeits so you can feel this pleasure and enjoy it now. You don't have to wait. And, of course, we know what those counterfeits can be. They can be pornography. They can be fantasizing. And we know where those things lead to. And often when I talk to people struggling in this area, you know, when they're alone, their mind wanders to things it shouldn't wander, and they do things they don't want to do, I say, okay, the problem isn't so much what you're doing, but where you're letting your mind go. See, the mind is the most important sexual organ in your body. Your brain is the most important sexual organ in your body. And you turn the rest of this whole system on and off by what you choose to think about. The Bible says to think about what is honorable and lovely and pure. And we, some of us, we need to have certain things. We need to just role play with ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to pretend right now my mind's going where it shouldn't go. I need to have something else that I can think about. And we need to turn our mind to those other things. Once our mind starts going down that road, then it is much harder to turn around and go back to where you're supposed to be. So one of the most important things is to examine your thought life and get a hold of the thoughts. The minute you start to go down that road, pull your thoughts around. Now, when I was a young woman, I told you that I grew up with a lot of dirty jokes in my house. I also grew up with a lot of pornography in my house. and I'm talking like stacks of pornographic magazines. Back then we didn't have the internet. And I just, you know, I remember that there was something about them that felt almost evil. And I just, if I snuck a peek at them, I felt dirty afterwards. And I didn't really understand why until I was an adult, because pornography and all of these counterfeit things that Satan offers compared to the marriage relationship often allow demons to come in and harass you and bother you and manifest in terrible ways, a lot of confusion in your brain, a lot of terrible thoughts. And a lot of times, if you have dabbled in these things, you have just opened yourself up to a truckload of trouble. And it is time, if you have dabbled in those things, or if you have struggled with those things, or if you're just kind of toying around with the idea, it is time to get out the semi-automatic, and it is time to blow the devil out of the water. And I am going to talk about that in a few minutes after this word from our sponsor.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workbooks like God's Girls Talk About Boys, Dating, Courtship, and Marriage. Meredith Curtis has brought together material in one concise book, which will guide women and girls as young as 12 through the Bible's comments on this important subject. Learn more at www.powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. We exist to serve you.
You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome back. We are talking about how to stay clean in a dirty world, and we have talked about the gift that God has given us of our sexuality and how precious that is and how beautiful. And we've talked about how Satan wants to offer us counterfeits to that gift, and that we need to recognize that our mind is often what leads us astray. What I'm going to talk about now is I'm just going to share with you some things that you can do in a practical way to cleanse your mind and cleanse your heart so that you can stand firm. I am going to talk about the Word of God and how powerful it is. And I'm also going to talk about how you view yourself. And both of those things are very important. Just like it's very important how you view sex, it is very important how you view yourself. So the first thing that I told you my background, and as you can imagine, I did have trouble with my thoughts. I did have trouble as a young teenager once I came to know the Lord. Before I came to know the Lord, I didn't really care. But after I came to know the Lord, I wanted my mind to be pure. So as a young woman, I did not really know what to do until someone showed me this verse. And it's from Psalm 119. It's verses 9 through 11. And it says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And, oh, I'm sorry. It starts out, how can a young man keep his way pure? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that really jumped out at me because I thought, okay, that's me. I'm not a young man. I'm a young woman, but I want to keep my heart pure. How can I do that? And how can I not sin against the Lord? And it was hide the word in my heart. So I asked the Lord to give me a passage that would protect me while I was, you know, dealing with the temptation, not just temptation outwardly, but temptation inwardly. And the passage the Lord led me to was 1 Thessalonians 4. And as a young woman, I memorized this passage. It is God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you should learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this way no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. And it goes on. But that really hit me between the eyes, because I realized that if I were to get involved physically with a young man, then I would not just be sinning against the Lord. I would be sinning against that young man. And another verse in Scripture tells me, my own body. That really helped me, because my heart was to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, to do good to them and to build them up, not in any way to bring them harm. And so that really protected me. And not just that, but I thought, you know what? I'm not going to behave in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. I'm not a heathen. I know God. And that leads me to something very important. If you are born again, if you are a believer in Jesus, the old is gone, the new has come. And you know how you can tell that? When you sin, you feel so uncomfortable and so convicted, you don't want to do it. You know why? Because it's not your nature anymore. You're not a heathen anymore. You are not a sexual, immoral person. You're a child of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you were a king or a queen, you would not put on rags and slink into the back of a stadium. You would put on your royal robes and you would walk to the best seat in the house and you would sit down and you would enjoy the football game or the opera or the ballet or whatever performance was there. And in the same way, so often if we mess up in this area, we are so filled with condemnation and we just look at ourselves as such a failure and we look at ourselves, oh, I'm not a son anymore, I'm a slave. But see, when God forgives us, He forgives us, and He is working in us to cleanse us. And just the fact that you feel so dirty shows you that this is not normal for you. It is not normal for you to sin, you know, and that is so important, because when you realize who you are in Christ, you realize this isn't me. This isn't me. This isn't the person I am. It isn't the person that God has created, that God is changing. And it's so important in this area to walk in who you are. You are not the heathen who live in passionate lust. You are the children of God. You are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who created the universe. And you are waiting. You are waiting for that gift. You are established in Christ, and you are waiting for His perfect timing. And in the meantime, 1 Thessalonians tells us, 4 tells us that you're learning to love one another. God is teaching you things. He's unfolding things to you. And as you wait and as you learn to use self-control, as you learn to say, oh my goodness, my thoughts are going somewhere where they should not go, I am going to take that thought captive. As you do that, you know what happens? It's like building spiritual muscle. It's as if a scrawny 98-pound weakling went out and said, I want to be a football player. And everyone laughed at him. And he said, no, 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 I'm going to be a football player. And he started lifting and running and, you know, going out and throwing the ball and catching it and kicking. And within a few months, he had put on 50 pounds, and he had strong legs. He was a fast runner. He was a great kicker, still a little small, but he was a football player. And when we build our spiritual muscle, it is making us stronger for the next thing and the next thing that comes our way, and we can help other people. So I can tell you from experience, God helped me to walk in sexual purity. Were there times that I did things that I wish I hadn't done? Yes. But I repented and God forgave me and I moved on. Not as someone who was filled with despair, but as someone who was forgiven, who was adopted as a daughter of Jesus Christ. And that is very important when you're battling this sin, because you will hear so much condemnation from the devil. And you have to realize, if you are in Christ, that is not who you are. You are an overcomer. And okay, you didn't overcome last night, but you are going to overcome from this day forward. And the Bible says that a righteous man falls down seven times, but seven times he gets back up. So what do children of the King do? They get back up. They receive forgiveness and they walk. Not in shame, they walk in forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to just tell you some practical things that will help you to stay clean in a dirty world. One thing is, do not have any computers or electronic devices behind closed doors. If you have a computer in your room, I would talk to your mom and dad and say, hey, can we move the computer out of my room, out into the middle of the living room or the family room or somewhere wherever, when I'm on the computer, everyone can see what I'm doing. Same thing with Kindles, with phones. Never use any kind of electronic equipment that can go online in your bedroom or behind a closed door. Always do it out in the open in front of people. My friend Felice, they collect all their electronic equipment at night in a basket after dinner. Everyone just puts all their phones in a basket, the Kindles, everything. And that way, no one might be tempted to, you know, look at things or do talk to people or do things that would not be appropriate. So that's a real helpful thing. You know, when I was younger, I didn't have to face that kind of temptation. I didn't even ever imagine we'd have something like the internet. But I had to make sure that my life was an open book. I did not choose to live alone. I lived with a roommate all through college, so there was always accountability in the way that I live. Also, always talk to your parents about struggles you're having. You may think you're the only one. Everyone is like you. Not everyone, maybe. Maybe there's one or two people not, but everybody struggles. And I've never had someone come to me and talk to me. And I have a lot of people talk to me, my children, other people's children, people in the church. And I'm never surprised by what people have done. And I've heard some horrific things even. But it doesn't surprise me, because the bottom line is, we're made in the image of God and we're capable of great good. But we're marred by sin, and so we're capable of great evil. So I'm just so grateful that Jesus has chosen to love us and forgive us, because all of us unrestrained can do horrible, horrible things. But once we're in Christ, we have a new nature that is set to do what is good. So always go to your parents, share with them what you're struggling with. If they don't have time to talk to you, or for some reason they're not available, you can go to a pastor. I'm telling you, they have heard things like this before, and it will not be a surprise, and they can help you, and they have practical things that they can do to help you. Memorize scripture and quote it out loud and enjoy it, because when you memorize scripture, when you walk in the ways of God, the ways of God are pleasant. They're peaceful. And the ways of Satan, they bring shame. The ways of Satan bring just this horrible feeling. You just don't feel good about who you are and what you're doing. But the ways of God are different. And so the more you walk in the ways of God and enjoy how pleasant they are, the more you want to walk in the ways of God, and you're building that spiritual muscle. Again, don't be behind closed doors. Keep your life as an open book, and don't get into the place where you're looking at Christianity as, did I sin or not sin? That's not Christianity. Christianity is following Jesus and serving him. And if you get really busy getting to know Jesus and serving him, there's not a lot of time left to sin against him. And I think sometimes we can, when we're struggling with a sin, we can so focus on that sin. And did I sin? Did I not sin? Did I sin? Did I not sin? And we become consumed with the sin. But Christianity is about being consumed with the person of Jesus Christ. And as the perfect person who knit you together in your mother's womb, there is nothing hidden from you. And you don't ever have to be ashamed of telling him anything, even how you feel. He already knows. But when you pour your heart out to him and you tell him the struggle, and I cannot tell you how many times I've said to the Lord, look, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I want to do this. I don't know what to do. Will you help me? Will you just change my heart so that I love what is good and hate what is evil? And that honestly is my prayer almost every day. Lord, help me love what is good and hate what is evil. Because sometimes there is a hook in my jaw, and I know the devil is deceiving me. I know it's a trick, but somehow I am falling for it. And I have to just be real with God and say, God, I cannot do this. Would you pour out your grace? Because grace didn't just save me. Grace is enough to help me follow him and serve him and obey him. Another thing that's very practical is avoiding things that imply sexual behavior. For instance, you're watching a TV show and a couple, you know, they're lying on a bed and they start kissing. Well, that's probably a scene you should just fast forward through. Or, you know, you're watching a TV show or a movie with your family and, you know, there's a couple, they're in the bed kissing, you know, just get up and get a drink with your back toward the TV screen until you hear the scene change. Because a lot of times when we see things like that, it can make our mind wander. You have to know what works with you. Remember I told you earlier that the devil tricks us and traps us? I'm sorry to tell you, but the devil often uses the exact same trap and trick over and over. So you have to figure out, like, when does he get me? What is it that he does? And once you can figure out what it is, then you can realize, okay, you know what? When I get mad at my mom, I indulge in this kind of behavior that doesn't please God. And then you realize, okay, next time I get mad at my mom, I'm going to do this instead. And you have to retrain yourself, because a lot of times we will choose to sin when we're not liking how our life is going. And we just want to get away from it, to escape. And Satan knows that, so he'll offer us something counterfeit. When your life isn't going well, there's someone who really, really loves you. There is someone who gave his life for you. And I just want to remind you of this. I came to the Lord so broken and so full of myself, so un what the Bible says a godly person should be. And Jesus forgave me. He forgave me and he set me free. And I have been a Christian since 1979, and I still mess up so much. And the Lord forgives me and he cleanses me and he sets me free and he blesses me. See, God's heart for you is not to punish your sin. His heart for you is to help you to live in his ways, because they're the best ways, and he loves you, and he wants to be close to you. And I think sometimes we let the devil twist our view of God. You know, I was reading in Ezekiel today, and the chapter that it was talking about was the soul that sins must die. He was talking about, you know, if your father's good, but you're bad, you're going to pay for your sin. But if your father's bad, but you're good, you're going to be blessed. And of course, this is before the cross. But at the very end, he said, I take no delight in punishing sinners. My desire, now this is a paraphrase, of course, for me, my desire is that evil men would repent and choose to live. And I would say, you know, when we're in the trap of the devil, when we're in the tricks of the devil, we think, oh, this is so good, this is so fun. But honestly, we're having to do it in secret. We're having to hide people. We feel ashamed. We feel dirty. We want to be set free. There's no joy. There's no freedom. But when we walk in the ways of the Lord, there's joy and delight and peace. And this is God. This is the God who loves you, who made you. And I just want to encourage you to remember to see sex as a gift from God and wait for that gift and the whole package that that gift comes from. And number two, don't accept any counterfeits from the enemy. He does not want to give you any joy. He wants to lie to you so he can kill you and destroy you. Use the word of God as a weapon against the devil, but also as a way to draw close to the Lord so that you can understand and know his ways, and in knowing his ways, understand him and know him more. Always ask the Lord for help when you're struggling in this area, and he will never turn a deaf ear to your sincere prayer. He loves you. He is for you. And stand in who God created you to be. Don't believe the lies about the devil that you're a heathen who does not know God and that you just act this way. Believe the truth from God that you are born again and filled with the Spirit and you are a son and daughter of God. And protect yourself from traps by avoiding situations where your mind is going to wander into things where it should not go. And if you will do this, you will be able to walk in freedom, not just in the sexual area, but in many other areas as well. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I just want to invite you to come to the one who loves you and gave his life for you. He has a plan for you, and your sins have separated you from him. But he invites you to come, to turn away from living an evil life, to serve him alone, to love him alone. If you repent, he will forgive you for your sins. And if you ask him to take control of your life, he will give you eternal life. And you can belong to God and walk in his ways for the rest of your life. And so I just want to thank you very much for joining us this evening. We're very grateful, and we're praying that God will bless every household. Thank you very much. Good night.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workbooks, like Real Men Talk About Freedom, Girls, Courtship, and Marriage. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their eldest daughter and her fiancé, have brought together material in one concise book, which will guide men from 12 to 112 through the Bible's comments on this important subject. Learn more at www.powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. We exist to serve you. Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.